Time for the Word.
Amen.
The Word will change you.
Yes, it will.
It will change you. And it will rearrange thoughts. It does. It does. It'll rearrange thoughts and in the intents of the heart. The Word literally will transform you. Last week we talked about, we continued to talk about the subject of transformation. And this week we will do the same about the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to bring out some things that I believe that you can apply to your own life when it comes to the subject of transformation. As I said, the Greek word for transform is metamorpho. It's where we get the term metamorphosis. Just as a butterfly goes into a chrysalis, a caterpillar goes into a chrysalis and becomes a butterfly. It is that principle that God literally takes something that was this way and makes it a whole new thing. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Yes, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new.
Amen.
So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for speaking to us by your word. God, that today we would hear from heaven, we would be encouraged, we would be corrected, and God, we would become more like you. God, not correction in a terrified way, but God, so that we can be better. I thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. You love us so much. You want to bring us up, bring us out, and set us free to be exactly what you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So we brought a couple points out regarding transformation from the life of Paul. If anybody who was literally knocked off of his horse, blinding light, he was going in one direction, as we said. Remember, I used the ladder illustration, that sometimes that perspective has to change. And sometimes God's got to get our attention in order for that to happen. Now, God doesn't bring evil on you, okay? But when evil or bad things happen, God uses those to get your attention sometimes. He does not order them. He does not direct them. But when they happen, God always shows up. I'm reminded of what Mr. Rogers, when he was talking to some little kids one time. You know Mr. Rogers, everybody know?
Yes.
The friendly neighborhood man, right? Mr. Rogers, said, you know, when bad things happen, you got to look for the helpers. And so when it happens to Christians, instead of immediately saying, this must have been God's will, remember, it is the enemy who comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. Look for God on how he comes and helps. Because he's there. He's there to help, especially his sons and daughters. Because he's there. When something bad, something disappointing, something awful happens, I'm telling you, it is the enemy who wants to keep you away from God, talk you out of your faith, tell you, oh, see, God's not listening to you. See what happened to you? That's what the enemy says. But if you'll look and look for the helpers, look for the helper when you're a believer. You look for the Holy Ghost. Where is he moving in this situation? Because he shows up on the scene. Amen?
Yes.
So in the Apostle Paul, we were there. We went to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, that's kind of where we've been hanging out. We're going to go over to Acts chapter 22. And in just a moment, we'll go, and then we'll end up in Acts chapter 26. But we learned some lessons from Moses and his transformation, that God appeared to him in the burning bush, right? And sometimes those spectacular moments, because God's got something big for that person. Obviously, he had a big assignment for Moses. He had a big assignment for Paul. Paul gets knocked off his horse, right? He gets knocked to the ground, and he goes blind for 3 days. I mean, think about that. There is so much in these stories of transformation. These are not the only stories of transformation in the Word of God. In fact, if you start looking at the Word of God with that lens of transformation, you will see it in almost every major character in the Bible where God brings transformation. God is the one who brings transformation. We saw it even in Abraham's life. God brought the transformation in Abraham's life. He revealed himself. And so the first thing I want you to see, especially because we're going to be finishing up with Paul, is that all of these characters, all the way back to Abraham, they had an encounter with God. Say encounter.
Encounter.
They had an encounter with God. Now, perhaps you, as a child or a teenager, or even as an adult, and we heard, you know, we heard several stories. We heard Miss Valley's story as a young child. We heard Brother Jim's story as a man in his 70s, meeting God. So that's an encounter with God. When you got born again, when you walked an aisle and confessed Jesus as your Lord, when you followed him in baptism, those were encounters with God. Now, sometimes in encounters with God, you experience a lot of different things, right? You experience maybe emotion. Sometimes people cry uncontrollably because they realize that where they'd be without God. Sometimes when people, with their own bad decisions, they end up in the bottom of the barrel, right? And because of their own bad decisions, who shows up? God. He shows up and he's got his hand out. And he's got his hand out pulling you up. Remember, and during prayer, Sister Iris brought up that Peter got out of the boat. He might have sunk. He walked on the water. He sunk. But when he sunk, he cried out to the Lord. And he was drowning. And Jesus reached his hand out. And we see that time and time and time again. So we learn from Moses that an encounter with God can experiences can lead us to a greater calling or a greater assignment from God. We learn that same truth from the Apostle Paul. That when you have an encounter with God, there usually comes along with it, not just an encounter, but, and as I read some of these encountering stories in the Old Testament, as I read through them, I realized that often God would emancipate or set somebody free from something, their past. Now, with the Apostle Paul, because that's where we're at today, Acts chapter 9, and we're going to go ahead and pick up in Acts chapter 9 in verse 1. Now, Saul was breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, and went to the high priest, asked for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them around, bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly, a light shone around him from heaven. This is an encounter with God. And then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" I always thought that was interesting. Yeah. I always thought that was interesting. Who are you, Lord? There's a ambiguousness to his statement. And he says, "Who are you, Lord?" And then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads." In other words, this is useless. What you're doing is useless. Because Jesus is on a victory plan. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And it says, "So trembling and astonished, he said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' And then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" When you encounter God, if you'll listen, God not only will reveal himself to you in such an amazing way. Romans chapter 2 says it's the goodness and the kindness of God that leads a man to repent. When you realize how good God is, it draws you to him. You want to be with him. You are not afraid of him as in terror. You want to be with him because the very one who can help you is the very one who can set you free from whatever is going on in your life. He can set you free. He can emancipate you. We talk about in our history that the Emancipation Proclamation that Lincoln wrote was to free the slaves and cause slavery to be illegal in the United States. It freed them. Now, they still had to deal with prejudice. They still, and even today, right? You still have to deal with some of those residual effects. But guess what? You're free. You're free. So God emancipates us when he reveals himself to us in that encounter. He takes our sin, the Bible tells us, and he throws it as far as the east is from the west. You are free. In fact, we sang about the chains being gone, right? We sang about the chains being gone. The things that bind you. That the freedom that comes in knowing Christ. That when we have that position with Christ, when we understand that 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that we become the righteousness of God in Christ, that sounds absolutely ridiculous. When you start thinking about all the flaws that you and I have. And don't ask your family. They'll probably tell you. Right? So we all have those missed marks where we're not always cutting it. But Jesus stands in our place, comes to live on the inside so that we, through Christ, can stand in that place. And I love the fact, I got a hold of this definition many, many years ago, that you can stand and come before God without the sense of guilt or shame or inferiority, as if sin never existed. That's a restoration. That's an emancipation. That says sin no longer has to be your master. Sin does. You do not have to give in. You don't have to give in. Say to your neighbor, you don't have to give in.
You don't have to give in.
You don't. Jesus came to pay the price. Jesus came to break the power of sin in our lives. So we have an encounter with God and he emancipates us. He sets us free. Now, I think it's interesting because we keep on going here. Not only does Paul is probably a very conflicted individual. Okay? He's very, very educated. He is one of those individuals who's going to follow the rules. Right? He's going to follow the rules and he's going to try to do it with all his might. He's going to try to follow every single law. And he thinks that in doing so, that somehow that makes him right with God. But deep down, there is something going on with Paul that I believe that there was an emptiness. There was a gap. And he was trying to prove himself to God. Do you know we've done that? Many times, even as Christians, sometimes you're trying to prove and trying to work this thing and that thing and this. Oh, if I could just pray enough, if I could just read my Bible, 2 days a week, you know, or whatever it is that you set your goal and then you fall flat and then all of a sudden you get discouraged and say, oh, it's no use anyway. I can't ever be like Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so, people that you looked up to when you were growing up or in a church background, and you thought, those people are close to God. I can remember there were certain individuals in the church that I grew up in, and I mean, they were like deacons, and you just, you know, when they spoke and they prayed, you always felt like they're close to God, you know, and they would pray in that King James prayer. You know what I'm talking about? You know? Bless thy gifts, Lord, today, both here and around the world. And they had the booming voice or whatever it might be. And you feel like, oh, man, I could never do that. I could never measure up. But I've got good news for you today. When you have an encounter with God, God sets you free from all of your inferiority. He sets you free from that. Now, you have an option. All of us have choices. And sometimes, part of the day you step into your inferiority and your insecurities and your foibles, and then part of the day you're in Christ, and then part of the day, you know, you're like, you don't feel God, he's a million miles away. Am I talking to the right people here today? Right? But, man, all you gotta do is by faith just jump right back in and receive his forgiveness, receive his help, Say, Lord, I'm having a rough day. I'm over here 1 minute. I don't feel God 1,000 miles away. I'm over here 1 minute. I feel your presence. Oh, that praise and worship song came on. Oh, I got chill bumps on the back of my neck. Okay, this is where I belong. And then the next minute, oh God, I blew it again. Have you all ever been there? I want to tell you that that's the enemy's trap to keep you from being here. Both sides of the ditch. Well, I don't feel God. Right? The Bible tells us that the just walk by faith. They walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's actually written on the wall in the back of the church, right over there. I walk by faith, not by sight. That means I don't walk by my feelings. Sometimes your feelings will lie to you. Don't let the enemy deceive you because you don't feel God. Don't let the enemy deceive you because you still are wrestling with insecurities. Can I be good enough? He doesn't want to talk to me. Listen, if you've been born again, you are his child.
Thank you, Lord.
And he loves you. And you can't do anything to make God love you anymore, and you can't do anything to make God love you any less.
Yes. Amen.
He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so Paul is going on this journey. He's had an encounter with God. I firmly believe that in those, quick, lightning quick moments, he was set free. In fact, Paul's testimony and people who write about Paul, they refer to him as the apostle of the heart set free. He was emancipated. He was freed from the yoke of trying to perform. Performance-based Christianity says, I have to perform in order for God to love me. A faith-based grace Christianity, and I'm not talking about an extreme that God just lets you do anything you want, okay? God's a good father. He'll correct you. And there are things that Christians ought not to do.
Amen.
That's just the way it is. He has a standard, right? But what I'm trying to tell you is that he's a good father. And he loves his children even when his children misbehave. It doesn't mean they're not his children. He still loves them. If you're a parent in here and your child misbehaved, you still love your kid, right? They just misbehaved. And so God is the same way. And he loves us despite that. God loves you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God loves you. Say, no matter what.
No matter what.
Praise God. Praise God. So that transformation the Apostle Paul went through. So he went through that transformation involved an encounter with God. It involved an emancipation, I believe, from that working mentality of I gotta work, 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 work. Because that's what he was doing. He was working to try. He felt like he was doing the right thing. Sometimes when God shows up, though, your perspective has to change. God will get your attention. And he got the Apostle Paul's attention. And he says, who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? The revelation comes, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goats. That saying basically means, this is useless. It's futile for what you're trying to do. So he, trembling astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Now, here's the third part about encountering God and having a life of transformation. God will equip you. Say equip.
Equip.
He will equip you for something greater than yourself. He will equip you and empower you for something greater than yourself. He'll equip you and empower you. Man, sounds like God to me in the New Testament when in the book of Acts, they were all in the upper room, 120 of them, and the Holy Ghost fell. They were empowered and equipped. And we see the transformation, especially in Peter. Go look at it. Acts chapter 2. He gives a sermon. A fisherman gives a sermon. He was not educated in the best rabbinic schools of his day. He's a fisherman. But he gets up and he gives a heart-impassioned, bold speech to everybody who was listening. Because for 3 years he walked with the master. For 3 years he got taught. For 3 years he was in the best rabbinical school possible. And even when it looked like he was going to have his final exam, he flunked. He denied Christ 3 times. But let me tell you something. When he was empowered by the Holy Spirit, that transformation just exploded out of his life. Exploded out of his life. So that even if his shadow touched somebody, they'd be healed. Woo! Let me tell you something. God equips and God empowers you if you live a life of transformation. And you just got to tap into that living that life of transformation. He encounters you. And maybe you didn't have a Damascus Road experience. Maybe one day you just woke up and went, you know, something's missing in my life. I need to get right with God. Let's do this. And it's a quality decision. No fireworks. No goosebumps. But deep down inside here, there was something that just drew you and just said, that's it. That's it. This is my opportunity. I'm doing it. That's still an encounter with God. Because His truth, His word comes. And man, I'll tell you, when you have those blinders removed off your eyes, it may not have been the lightning and the big dramatic thing. It wasn't the burning bush experience. Or maybe to you, it was a big deal. To you. Or maybe it was as simple as we heard in Brother Jim's testimony of just somebody had some furniture for him and then just decided to share Jesus with him. And at that moment, he's like, I'm in. Isn't it great that God deals with each one of us according to our personality and how we understand and think? He had to do something with Paul because he had a big assignment for Paul. Listen, if God shows up in these big things, you probably have a really big assignment. Because you'll use that as an anchor when trouble comes. And trouble comes to all of us. But be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world. So we see in this life of transformation, let's continue on in his story. And it says, then he says, and men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. God will give you direction when you have given your life to him. As a teenage young man, I didn't have a lot of direction on what I was supposed to do. I wasn't great at any one thing. I had all kinds of interests. I wasn't great at any one thing. Not a great athlete. Wanted to be. I was involved in science fair. Wanted to be like an inventor, scientist. Did okay. You know, for not a straight A, 4.0, college bound, going to be a brainiac. No, average. Sometimes below average. Sea level. Know what I'm talking about? And for me, and you can ask my family, they will tell you, especially my mom and dad, I was an introvert. I am no longer an introvert. I was transformed. I talk to anybody, and I try to figure out a way to talk to somebody about Jesus. If I can, I'll try to move the conversation. You ever done that? Sometimes I've even done it, and it's awkward, and it doesn't work. Anyway, so you have an encounter with God. Then you're empowered. You're equipped. Empowered by the Holy Ghost. Listen, when you have an encounter with God, God's given you direction. You've just got to listen. It's in the Word what He wants you to do. And it says, then Saul arose from the ground and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. He was there 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here am I, Lord. This is somebody who knew God. This is somebody who had an encounter with God, right? And it says, and so the Lord said to him, arise and go to the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying. This is supernatural. This is amazing direction. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority, and I hear he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, laying his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight. And be filled with the Holy Spirit. So the Apostle Paul now has an assignment. He's equipped, and now he's been filled with the Holy Spirit. How do we know that he was filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? Well, we know that from the book of Corinthians, because he says, I speak in tongues more than you all. So we know what happened. He got filled with the Holy Ghost, just like the disciples did on the day of Pentecost. God has an encounter with Paul. He equips and empowers Paul so that Paul is... Church, this life of transformation, will give you an assignment. He will give you an assignment that will literally transform your life. It'll transform your life in so many different ways. This man was probably, and I said this last week, he's probably on track to become a high priest. That's part of the reason why he's driven. He's a driven individual. We see this because he goes on to write 3/4 of the New Testament. We are probably sitting in this building right now because of the writings of Paul over 2,000 years ago. This man had an encounter with God. He was equipped. God knew who he was choosing. He knew him even in his mother's womb. Psalm 139 talks about how being knitted in that secret place. In that secret place. God has assignments. Say assignments. When you've encountered God, you have an assignment that he has that only you can fulfill. Only you can do it. Because he specifically knows you. If he knows the number of hair on your head, he knows what assignment he has for you. And there are assignments. Praise God. Praise God. And Psalm 139, as I mentioned, out of the Passion Translation, I like what it says, that you were knitted in your mother's womb. Knitted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, knitted in your mother's womb. You know, the Apostle Paul was set free from his past. He was set free. He was emancipated. He got equipped. He got equipped. He got empowered. This all started with an encounter with God. When you got born again, you had an encounter deep down on the inside so that things happened spiritually. Down on the inside, something changed. Something changed. And then the next E, he was entrusted with an assignment. Say entrusted. Entrusted. God has entrusted you with an assignment. You say, Pastor, I don't know what that assignment is. Well, there are ways you can find out. There are ways you can find out. And you say, well, I don't know what that is. And you know, God didn't tell me, get up and you're going to do this, that, and the other. He didn't do that. I just, you know, if I just followed and I believed in my heart and I confessed with my mouth, like you always say, and I don't know what that is. Let me tell you, the answer to finding out that assignment starts with the Word. It starts with a relationship with Him and His Word. His Word will start to speak to you, adjust you, change your thinking on some things, change even some of your religious thinking that people taught you and they meant well, but when you read the Word for yourself, you go, oh. The Apostle Paul commended the Bereans because he said that they were more noble than the Thessalonians because they searched the Scriptures to see if it was true. God wants you to find out your assignment, and the first thing he's got exactly what responsibilities and things all through the New Testament what we're to do. If we'll do those first, some of these other more specific assignments, he will start to bring them about. You'll start to see them in that time of prayer, in that time of spending time with him. And I encourage you, if you haven't been to Fresh Oil, come to Fresh Oil. Those are opportunities to get in the presence of God with other believers. I learned to pray, and Pastor Christine will tell you the same thing, that she learned to pray when she prayed with other people. That's the best way to learn to pray. Pray with other people. Yeah, you pray with other people, you start to hear them pray. And you start to, okay. And what happens is God shows up and you learn his ways. You learn his voice. You hear him clearer. The reason why we love getting in those special meetings, whether it's a special revival meeting or whether it's a special guest minister who flows in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is that you get in the presence of God and you learn his ways and that are a little bit different. You have another encounter with God and another encounter with God. You start learning his ways so that when you see him, you recognize it's God. You know from the Word and from you hearing and knowing his voice. You ever had a friend that you were really close to or a family member? You know what they're like, right? And then all of a sudden, somebody mentions a story about them and they go, oh, that sounds like Silvio. Right? Silvio has always got a joke on the end of his tongue, right? And you may not even know that he's being serious or not in that very quick moment. That's part of that's his nature. You've been around him enough that you know that's him. And so when somebody mentions a story about him, you go, sounds like Silvio. That's kind of the everyday experience, right? But when you have an experience with God, when you have an experience with God that is outside of the ordinary, that's a little outside in that secret place, that's when that relationship goes deeper. And I'm not trying to get graphic or anything, but when Silvio was probably dating Iris, she probably ran into the funny personality. Right? Am I right, Iris? Right? Am I right? You ran into the humorous, cute, fun personality, right? But as their relationship developed and eventually moved into marriage, she learned more, right? She learned more about him, more about his ways, how he thought. Well, that's the same with us, that when we spend time with God, and that's what dating does, you spend time with them. Or what about you're not married, but you spend time with a friend, a cousin, a close relative, right? And you spend time with them. You start to know what they think like. You start to know what that brother or that, oh, if you grew up with brothers and sisters, it's like, you know, I can talk about my sister, you know, and say, that sounds like Lori. That sounds like Lori. Yeah. Yeah. Why? Because but I also know those deeper things because I'm her brother. And she's my older sister, the one who has always been, you know, like been encouraging to me, especially as a Christian, always been encouraging to me, because that's who my sister is. She's going to look for the good, and she's going to lift you up. You perhaps have people like that in your life. And so when we are kind of learning from those human relationships, whether it be marriage or whether we're single and we have family members, maybe it was your parent, regardless, those were the everyday things that we learned about them. This is an encounter with God, right? But then sometimes that encounter with God steps out of the ordinary. Steps out of the ordinary. And God gets your attention on something. Ministers to you just in a powerful way. And that's what I believe God wants from us, that we go deeper. Those encounters with God take us into a deeper relationship with Him. Those opportunities to be transformed and to live this transformed life. Amen. So then God entrusted the Apostle Paul, entrusted him with an assignment. But it wasn't without difficulty. We see in Acts chapter 22, we see in Acts chapter 26, we see more detailed versions, if you will, of Paul's testimony. We're not going to go there today for time's sake. But I am going to tell you this, that sometimes difficulty comes, opposition comes, when you've had an encounter with God. And you have been set free, and you've been empowered, and you've been equipped, and now you've been entrusted with an assignment, and now difficulty comes. It didn't take God by surprise, right? But God will strengthen you in the middle of those situations. He will be there right by your side, right by your side. How do I live the transformed life, Pastor? How do I live the transformed life? Well, there was a study done about people who had encounters with God. And it was not a religious study. This was done through a university in North Carolina. And one of the things they found out, that 67% of atheists or agnostics who had an encounter with God renounced and literally walked away from atheism and embraced a relationship with God. 67%. An encounter with God changes your destiny. An encounter with God changes the way you think. That's what it did with Paul. That's what it did with Moses. That's what it did with many characters throughout the Old Testament. When they had an encounter with God, it changes the very inside workings of who they were. So when you were born again, don't discount whether or not, you know, don't try to compare your born-again experience with the Apostle Paul, right? Maybe you had that cool, big thing. Maybe you didn't. Doesn't matter. Your destiny still changed. Your thinking needs to change along with it. We referenced Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 from last week, how we renew our minds. So how do I live the transformed life? How do I live the transformed life? Well, There are a couple real simple things to live the transformed life. His word, spend time in His word. Spend time in His word. And if you don't know where to start, ask somebody who you know knows God. Say, hey, where should I start? The Bible's overwhelming. Where do I start? Find somebody who you trust and believe knows God. Ask them, where do I start in the Bible? The second thing is try to spend some time with Him. It doesn't have to be hours on end. Just try to spend some time with Him. Check in. Just check in. You call your friends all the time. You text your friends. You check to see what their life is going on in Facebook land or fake book land, right? And you check in and you're always, how much time we spend doing that. Just check in with Him. Check in with Him, right? And then the other thing is be a part of a community of faith. Be a part of a community of faith that feeds your transformed life, that can help you through those difficult moments. Be a part of a community of faith and look for the assignment that God has entrusted you for. And the Bible says that He honors the day of small beginnings. So I remember when I said I was called to the ministry, And I was a young man in college, and I showed up at my church, and I thought they were going to let me preach. I did. I had this grandiose thing. They're going to let me preach. And so Dr. Wayne Lee of the Maranatha Church in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, said, "Young man, you're called to the ministry?" "Yes, sir, I am." "Meet me here at 3 o'clock on Wednesday." I met him at 3 o'clock. I'm in his office. He says, "I want you to meet Brother Joe." Brother Joe comes in. He's the custodian of the church. Big key ring on the side of his belt. "You're going to follow Brother Joe, and you're going to do whatever he tells you to do." Brother Joe took me to the nasty, disgusting men's bathroom and handed me a toilet brush. And that's how I learned. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. God has situations designed for you so that you are entrusted with some assignment. Let's find out. Let's ask him. Let's inquire of the Lord. Let's write it down. Let's live out that assignment. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for helping us today. Thank you, Father God, that you desire for us to live a transformed life. A life that's different. A life that's different than maybe some of our friends, some of our peers. God, you've called us to live and run a race that is only ours. It's designed by you. It's designed by you. Because you knew us in our mother's womb. We were crocheted, we were knitted, we were fashioned in that secret place. And so, Father, I pray, God, that you'd minister to your people, that they would reflect back on the time that they received you. And if they haven't received you, God, I thank you that perhaps today would be that day. If they've been away from you, God, I pray that perhaps today would be that day they'd come back. Lord, you've been speaking to us that prodigals will return. Father, that you want to move in our midst and revive your people once again, so that entire villages and cities, villages like Mount Kisco, would literally be known as a revival center, as a place where people are connecting with God, leaving their past behind, being emancipated from sin, that they would be equipped, empowered from on high, and entrusted with an assignment. Father, I pray that you do that in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're watching online, perhaps you've been away from him, we're going to pray a very simple prayer together. And when we do, if you will pray that prayer and mean it in your heart, God will meet you right where you're at. And he'll take you to a different place. Different place internally. A walk with him. If you've been away from God, he'll bring you back. He'll bring you back. If you've never known him, he'll show you wonderful, marvelous new things. So right now, if that's you, and you want to receive Christ, or you want to recommit your life to Christ, I want you to just raise up your hand just so that I know that that's you, and that today is that time for you, that you're coming back. You're coming back, or you're coming to him. Anybody at all? Hallelujah. I do that even when church is, I think everybody here knows God. I do that because I want you to know we're going to do this every time we come together as a church. We're going to do this so that when you bring your friends, amen, they can receive Christ. They can, yes, come back to Christ. Yes. They can be filled with the Holy Ghost, yes, and power. They can be equipped. God can meet them and encounter them right where they are at.
Thank you, Lord.
So let's pray together. Just say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is who he said he is, that he died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead, and I confess him as my Lord and Savior from this day forth, in Jesus' name, amen. If you receive Christ, we want to know about it. Message us on Facebook. Let us know in person. Praise God. Isn't God good all the time?
All the time.
Amen. Amen. He is so good. He wants to encounter us in our everyday life. Amen. He wants to help you in everything you're going through. Let's stand to our feet as we have our sending out verse right now. Praise God. It's up on the screen. Let's say it together. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you.
Amen.
We will see you next week.